Welcome once again to Leto's Law. Here's Steve Leto.
Monty Python, the British comedy troupe, put out a lot of television shows and movies, and some of their members went on to great acclaim in film. And they created quite a body of work, and a lot of people who are fans of their work over the years have simply taken to using bits and pieces of it in everyday life. Much like The Simpsons, also in America, occasionally I'll crack jokes that are directly from The Simpsons, inside jokes, and so on. And then, of course, there are some things that are just iconic. And Heather, the Canadian robot lady, sent me a note and said, Steve, did you see the dead parrot sketch popped up in a Canadian courtroom recently? The dead parrot sketch. And I hope you know what I'm talking about. If not, it'll become self-explanatory. Dead parrot sketch invoked as a BC judge okays glucosamine sulfate class action, which sounds about as exciting as it probably is. The mislabeling claim reminded the judge of British comedy troupe's legendary ode to a frustrating purchase. From the CBC, Jason Proctor wrote it. Vancouver judge saw parallels this week between a woman's proposed class action lawsuit against some pharmaceutical companies and the legendary British comedy sketch involving an irate customer who is trying to return a dead parrot to a pet shop. And the problem, of course, is not that the parrot died after he bought it, is that the parrot was sold to him dead. And he apparently bought it because of some misstatements made by the seller. The BC Supreme Court Justice Ward Branch wrote, "Sometimes a consumer will make a purchase but not receive what they ordered." Right, there you go, breach of warranty, right? Then went on to cite nearly all of the dead parrot sketch by Monty Python's Flying Circus at the start of a lengthy ruling which certified the class action. So the dead parrot was, in essence, something that helped the woman who's leading the legal charge. She claims she spent years buying glucosamine sulfate products that allegedly contained no glucosamine sulfate. And, you know, that's the old joke. You know, how much of something is in here? You buy a bottle of flavored water, and it goes, contains real fruit juice. And you read the contents, and it contains 0.000001% fruit juice. Does contain fruit juice. Well, here's the problem. She says she's buying the stuff, and it contains zero. Does not contain any. This parrot is demised. So in giving the woman the go-ahead to sue, Branch compared her to Mr. Praline, who is the customer. Most people don't know that, but that's the name of the customer. In the decades-old skit, who confronts the shopkeeper with a Norwegian blue. They've got lovely plumage, you know. And the parrot turns out to have been nailed to its perch. It is an ex-parrot, in the words of the man. Expired and gone to meet his maker. Much like the Mr. Praline complains, this client plaintiff says she was sold a health product that did not contain what it said on the bottle. She admits that she does not know for certain what is in the bottles, but argues that what it is not glucosamine sulfate. The judge approved the class action lawsuit against a pharmaceutical company. There's actually two of them, in relation to products purchased after May 6, 2004, that claimed to contain glucosamine sulfate. And this is a chemical that's used in human cartilage. It also occurs in the coverings of shellfish. Okay? I don't know if they make great pets, though. Glucosamine sulfate is produced by combining glucosamine and mineral salt, and global sales of the compound are in the billions of dollars, but again, that's billions Canadian. If Health Canada approves a license for a glucosamine sulfate product, a manufacturer is allowed to say it helps to relieve joint pain associated with osteoarthritis and to protect against cartilage deterioration. So much like America's FDA, there are limits on what they can say, and they're allowed to say it helps to relieve the pain and protects against the deterioration. According to the ruling, the lawsuit was sparked by a 2012 academic paper that threw doubt on the contents of many commercial products claiming to contain glucosamine sulfate. The plaintiff claims that a University of British Columbia professor hired to test a bottle of one such product found they did not contain glucosamine sulfate or so-called glucosamine sulfate potassium chloride, which sounds like a party. The distinction is crucial because experts cited by the claimants say only that glucosamine sulfate itself is effective in managing osteoarthritis, that other forms are harder to digest. Meanwhile, the companies dispute the claims. But the judge reached for the dead parrot sketch again when considering this and says, to invoke the opening comedic extract, Health Canada's testing protocols cannot change a dead parrot into a live one. Health Canada cannot establish a protocol that requires that a parrot only still have its feathers in order to be sold as a live parrot, and thereby prevent anyone from suing after being sold a parrot who joined the bleeding choir invisible. In approving the class action for certification, Branch did not decide, of course, the merits of the claim or whether or not it's going to go to trial, simply said that those allegations would have to be proven down the road. A search, meanwhile, of the Canadian Legal Information Institute database shows a judicial fondness for Monty Python. The dead parrot sketch is a particular favorite. And by the way, Monty Python's Flying Circus was broadcast on the BBC from 1969 to 1974. Now, most Americans know it because it got picked up by PBS over here. And I read some great interviews with people who worked both with PBS and with Monty Python, who said that the first few people they showed it to in America were genuinely confused by it and literally would watch a screening of it and then like sneak out of the room and run away. Like there were people who didn't get it. And it is strange. I love Monty Python, but I'm willing to admit that when you compare Monty Python with American television from 69 to 74, it is so surreal that it is in a class by itself. You may not like it. You may not think it's funny, but there you go. In 1998, a tax court judge compared the behavior of employees at Human Resources and Development Canada to the parrot seller for the treatment of taxpayer claims. They simply refused to accept the parrot was not napping or meditating, but was in reality extremely dead, the judge wrote. The Alberta Court of Appeal also cited the sketch as a means of showing that a moribund pipe company that had been struck off the corporate registry could not file a civil claim. And they wrote, to borrow from the satire of Monty Python, it is a non-entity, and denial of that does not change the fact. And in a literary tour de force, an Ontario Superior Court justice compared a witness to Monty Python's so-called Minister of Silly Walks, claiming the man's credibility was reduced to existential confetti when he finished testifying, and he even appeared to be physically shorter than when the trial began. The same judge described the closing arguments as eye-glazing, bum-numbing, and disc herniating. Not to be outdone, BC's Civil Resolution Tribunal ruled last year in a dispute involving a man who claimed he was sold a defective parrot. Once in a while, they're on the nose, right? In that case, the tribunal member found that there was an implied warranty that the ex-parrot, Tiberius, would be healthy for at least 6 months after purchase. Interestingly enough, implied warranty would be the same language you get from the Uniform Commercial Code of America, and that is, I've talked about before, the notion that if you buy a product, it will do what it's presumed to before. Lawnmower will cut your grass, refrigerator will keep your food cold. What will a pet do? What will a pet do? Well, it'll stay alive for a little while at the very least, won't it? Even if it has lovely plumage. So it's kind of funny. You always wonder when you see stuff like that, because, you know, America had, you know, and still does, sketch comedy with like Saturday Night Live. And you watch Saturday Night Live episodes from the very, very early years. And the show is so inexpensively shot in some sense. I understand that it takes a lot of money to launch a live show, but I'm just talking about if you look at the sets and, you know, these people rehearse for a week and they put something out, and then 25, 30, 40 years later, people are still watching it going, oh my. And I always wonder, you know, if anybody ever realized that, you know, the John Belushi sketches from the first year would become iconic, or that the Monty Python sketches, because again, I understand that it took money to produce those, but not as much money as they spent in other programs. And so, you know, you watch the Monty Python stuff in particular, and the sets are really cheap. And sometimes it doesn't look like they rehearsed a whole lot, but they are still so funny. I mean, if you appreciate that kind of humor, that you realize there's a reason why it's lasted forever. So you get the Monty Python sketches from the BBC series, and then, of course, a few of their movies have become iconic as well, such that Monty Python's Holy Grail, again, is just rife with literary references that people still use this very day. It's just a flesh wound. So the dead parrot sketch has been invoked as a BC judge okays glucosamine sulfate class action. And let's face it, without the introduction of Monty Python into that discussion, an argument over glucosamine sulfate ain't going to be all that much fun to listen to. So there you go. Heather, thanks for sending it. Questions or comments, put them below. There's a talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Thank you for watching Leto's Law. Every sunset is an opportunity to reset.